welcome. Open your heart to receive the words of righteousness declared to equip us against the words of darkness. Hearken to these holy words and be empowered to rule and reign.
Matthew 25, verse 1 to 14, 1 to 13. And the Bible says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. How many virgins?
10 virgins.
As we know that 10 represent what? You know, 5 is the number of grace. Isn't that so? 10 is the number of completion. Amen. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet with the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, 5 of them were wise. So that's what distinguished both, the two categories. Mind you, the two categories are all virgins. So the people who have kept themselves for the Lord, they've abstained from worldly lust. Praise God. They that were foolish took their lamps, but there's a problem. They lack foresight. They lack prophetic foresight. Praise God. You know, having foresight, having prophetic foresight is a function of lingering in the presence of God. It's a function of having the discernment to understand the challenges ahead, to understand the process, to understand the stakes, to understand the standards of heaven. Praise God. You know, it's in the place of God doing a work at the threshing floor, a work of squeezing, you know, of lingering in his presence, beholding in his face. That is where oil is gotten, isn't that so? It's in the place of stretching, it's in the place of waiting. Critically speaking, the Holy Spirit is one who generates oil. Isn't that so? It's the Holy Spirit as we wait on him, as we fellowship with him and have koinonian. That is where oil is produced. Another thing that produces oil is crushing. Isn't that so? You know, when God takes us through trials and tribulation and our faith is stretched, oil is produced. So but the problem with this foolish one is that it looks like it's a problem of attitude. It's a problem of presumption. So they did not plan for they planned for today. You get what I'm saying? They planned for the present time. They did not, you know, the challenges ahead will require being long-spirited. It would, you know, the Lord Jesus put it this way, those who endure to the end shall be saved. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. That is amazing thing. So all of them slept. All of them were tired. All of them were exhausted. All of them were worn out. None of them was perfect. None of them was absolute. None of them was without limitation. But God doesn't judge us because of our weaknesses. He helps us through our weaknesses. And at the midnight, let's always say the midnight. I believe we are the midnight in the spirit. The midnight is a time when men slumber. Isn't that so? When people sleep. Many people are sleeping on entertainment. They are hooked. They're not in control. A lot of people are sleeping on the pursuit of life achievement. And if we're not careful, we're not going to be in control. We just do not wait. We will lose the control. So many people sleep away at the midnight. And then there was a cry. Behold, the bridegroom coming. At the midnight is the time, at the same time, when the trumpeting of heaven is reverberating. God is having us to celebrate the Feast of Trumpet. Praise God. In preparation of the bride to be one and be joined to the Lamb. Hallelujah. So this is a critical prophetic phase. We are living in the midnight. This is the midnight hour. Praise God. The Bible says at the midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for your lamps are gone out. Now this is where their wisdom was put to test. But the wise answered, saying, not so. You know, there's a difference between love and wise decision. There are some instances we will, through love, say no. A lot of people think that love means that is, let me use what Pastor Danny Matthews will say, love is being bunduquos. he invented that grammar. Love is not being bunduquos. Well, it means that anything goes. That's not what love is. These are days where the enemy will have people blackmail you, trying to place demand of forged love on you. You must be able to take a stand and say no. In such instance, you don't share what is meant for the Lord. Because people will tell you that, look at the poor. You know, the instance the Lord Jesus will say, the poor you will always have among you. Then when that lady poured the oil on Jesus, you know that we have a lot of Judas spirit in this generation. These people are truly spiritual. Won't they go and share it with many poor instead of just pour it on him alone? Because many poor, 100 poor, could be taken care of. Praise God. Something we must have that determines whether we're wise virgin or foolish virgin. It is called conviction. Your conviction will be put to test. Conviction that is entrenched in the will of God. Hallelujah. Is that why? Then they said, no. There's going to be there might be a problem. We might have a situation where what I have provided is what's supposed to sustain me in the long run. Nobody knows how long this whole waiting would be. Let somebody say waiting. The bride of Christ. God is raising a company of bridehood who will survive the test of waiting. Waiting will stretch you. Your faith will be stretched. Your revelation will be tested. Praise God. That's what waiting is. But one thing about the spiritual thing is that, you know, waiting does not imply waste. A lot of people think that when God... Let me say this. I overheard this from a message from Pastor Chris Delvan. He said something. When God speaks to you about something he is getting ready to get done in your life, And after a while, in the course of waiting, we now feel that, God, you are delayed in your promises. He said, the first problem is that if you are the ones that draws conclusion on delay, then that means you hold the timing in your hand. Yeah, you are the one in charge of the timing. So the question is this: who made the promise? He's the one who determines the timing. There's something about waiting. Waiting, there's nothing that heaven uses to try our faith and authenticity of our devotion like waiting. If you want to know somebody that is truly called, let him wait. Praise God. You want to know a vision, an initiative that God blessed? Waiting. It is waiting that distinguishes between Isaac and Ishmael. Many people who fail to wait will bring forth Ishmael. Praise God. To bring forth Isaac, you must complete your prophetic cycle. And that is waiting. I tell you something, waiting never implies waste. Waiting never does implies waste. Waiting is never passive in the spirit. It is through waiting that God put finishing touches to the vision. It is through waiting that you, your soul, becomes an embodiment of the word of the Lord. It is not just what you are trying to process or what you're trying to imagine. You carry the strength, the conviction, and the clarity of it. And you know what shows that someone is ready? You know, when God called Moses, and we remember the supernatural way in which Moses was kept in his childhood, and you remember that the midwife that raised him was his mother. And so therefore God did it deliberately so that Moses will not grow up with false identity. He understood, he was introduced to the God of Israel. He knew God. He knew his calling. He knew his purpose. He was just waiting for the nick of time. Of course, what was given to him was tested. Because when you come to palace, many of you will travel abroad. Praise God. And you'll be lost. You'll be lost in between. What do I choose? Purpose? Or, you know, abroad is not where you really get pleasure. What you get there is actually civilization. I still believe, literally speaking, you have opportunity to make it more right here in Nigeria. I'm not speaking prophetically. I mean it literally. When you're in a developed, advanced country like US, United Kingdom, and Europe, your achievement is restricted. You won't have power failure, you won't have water failure, but you pay for it. You pay for everything. friends. It's after decades they discover that at the end of the day, you actually don't have anything. But you cannot claim you have not lived a good natural life, because you have enjoyed electricity, constant water, constant just basic thing. You're able to get your own property. Someone told me that he has had 10 properties over decades. And at the end of the 10th one, he discovered that he only always had one. And because you trade one to get another one in a better place, you keep paying for that. When you finish paying for it, you discover that your status has changed again, and you consider himself privileged because he didn't suffer what some other friends. So some friends suffered loss of job for 5 years. You know, he didn't suffer all that. So he then rediscovered, now compared himself with his friends in Nigeria, and discovered that, man, they're not mates. Look at this friend, look at his close friend, that they still remain close, and realize that virtually all of them could employ him. Now, not if God is calling you abroad, I'm not saying I don't have any mission. You get it? But make sure any decision you take is based on this. There's nothing wrong schooling abroad. There's nothing wrong getting yourself better. And there's nothing wrong living anywhere in the world. Amen. Your Father created the earth and the fullness thereof. Amen. But make sure you are sent. You know, some people got sent like Abraham. Some people went like Lot. You know, and that applies to everything and everything. Everything and everywhere. Even here in Nigeria, you have to be sent. These are not the times to do something that God is not there. There's no time for that anymore. Praise God. You know, sometimes when the Bible says that in the days of your youth, it's good for a young man to carry. So part of what that scripture says is that's the time you can see God without being sent to. there comes a time. And some of you might still be youthful. You get it. By the virtue of the budding of divine purpose, you are not youth. You can't stray. You don't have the luxury of time to stray. That if I miss it, then I can still start all over. Praise God. You know, there's nothing as foolish. Talking about five foolish virgins than deliberate error. No, there's a faith. You don't know. You just in quote, trial by error and blind chance is an act of faith. You don't get what I mean. Even though it is actually trial by error, there's no conviction. And it's blind chance because you're just trying anything. But one thing you cannot be accused of is idleness. There's a face that is regarded as righteousness. You get what I'm saying? But there's no foolishness as compared to deliberate error. Now, it's not that you don't know. It's that, but you know. But for one reason or the other, one of it is economic pressure. One of it is that when you begin to compare yourself with another, there are two dangerous places to be. One of it is a place of redundancy. Nothing moves you. Not man, not God. There are people like that. Their sense of spirituality is warped. They believe laziness and idleness is actually spirituality. Some people believe that stepping on other people's toes, it is they being used as a tool of God's dealing. You don't need people. When they step on your toe and you react, they tell you, see, that's what we're saying. That's exactly why God put me here. That is one extreme. But the other extreme is that individual is warped. And God needs to do an internal work of what did Dr. Woodruff used to call it? Skeletal adjustment. The adjustment, that's what reformation means, actually. That's internal adjustment. Some people, God needs to internally restructure them because something has been damaged. But some people are lightweight in the spirit. Everything moves them. You know, the other guy said, no, God doesn't challenge, man doesn't challenge. But this one, everything moves them. No, you shouldn't be like that. When you're like that, you'll be given to haste. You know, there are people out there in the world, but there are people out there right here in the church. Just say that somebody just came from nowhere, and the fellow has become a multi-millionaire. Now, you see, there was once upon a time in this country when values were still intact. People questioned that kind of sudden prosperity. You don't admire such person. The guy just came from nowhere and everything is shining. You must appreciate the beauty of process. Don't admire someone who made it out of nothing, nowhere. It just came unseen. It does not exist anywhere. In God, it does not exist. By nature, as God has designed nature to be, it does not exist. Praise God. Waiting. We must cherish waiting. And your time is not in man's hand. Your time is ordered by the Lord. Everything you need to learn through the process of waiting, learn it. Every wisdom, gain it. Every character strength, gain it. Every value, gain it. Let God do a thorough work in you. You see, God is not a kind of God that has 7 hours to hew down a tree and it will start. He will use out of the 7 hours 15 minutes to sharpen the axe and spend the remaining time preoccupied cutting down the tree because he wants to get a quick job done. God is the kind of job God, out of 6 hours, can actually spend 5 hours 45 minutes sharpening the tool. 15 minutes is enough for him. Take it down. You know, I sense in my spirit, if God is spending out of 6 hours 5 hours 45 minutes to sharpen you, it is okay. You get what I'm saying? It is okay. A time is coming. One stroke, the tree will fall. Yeah. Hallelujah. So when heaven just keeps sharpening you, amen. Men are doing exploit out there. Life is past. People are penetrating and things are happening. You are still being sharpened. You know what they're trying to do? That thing, that sense that is making you to compare yourself with others. That's what they want to take away. That's what makes the wise virgin wise. Because they have been deprived and wool of their idols. That thing that is like, God, you know I'm serving you. I don't want people to see me as a failure in life. And it's good and it's okay. I'm serving you. But I still want to be out there and be seen as being so. God, then God tells you that no, that's not your purpose. Your purpose is not to prove any point to anybody. Your purpose is to obey me. Your purpose is to follow through my course. Your purpose is to impact your generation. Your purpose is not to be successful in the glare of the world. Definition of man. Because when you assess success, or rather in that sense, or purpose in that sense, then you will start using affluence, acquisition, you start using those false indices. Praise God. Hallelujah. What if you were the guy that is told the Lord Jesus that I've obeyed all the commandments, which one is again? He says that everything you have acquired, sell it and distribute it. So that means that those things are not the parameters. Praise God. What Jesus is not going to tell everybody to go and sell everything you ever worked for. But what Jesus is saying is that I want you to have a capacity to do the will of God at any cost. That's the capacity he wants to build. That's why waiting. You see, nobody becomes compassionate or by natural process, you know, of life. They're just naturally compassionate. Nobody becomes. Nobody becomes tolerant naturally. It is in the place of waiting. So we become instrument of the kingdom through waiting. Praise God. And that means so much to God. That touches the heart of God. Hallelujah. So look at these wise virgins. Then they answered, go rather and what? Sell and buy for yourselves. That is how you acquire oil. You sell and then buy. So sometimes what we need to ask ourselves is that, what have you sold? Praise God. What have you sold? In the realm of the spirit, covenant is attained by exchange. I said that, hey, divine likeness, to become like him. It's not cheap. It's not rhetoric. It's not grammar. It's not rhetoric. It's just to become like him. We're entering that realm, becoming like him. It will cost you something. Yes, sir. It's going to cost us our pride. It's going to cost us. Sometimes people will take you for fool. It's going to cost us a lot. So every phase of God's dealing in our lives, one expectation we should have. What is God demanding? He will always demand something. Yeah, there's a price to pay. A lot of time, what you're holding dear, what you're already hiding, that's what he's already demanding. There's a price. There's a price. Hallelujah. There is a price. Let somebody say, there is a price. There is a price. God is raising a generation that will be swift in obedience. Amen. You know, this foolish virgin, they had pure heart. But that is not enough. they were sincerely wrong. They committed a sin of oversight. But that sin was actually embedded in the weakness that has lingered with them for so long. Indifference. Complacency. But unfortunately, they went out to do the right thing at the wrong time. That's why I say, God have mercy. By the time they now acquired the oil, they purchased the oil, the bridegroom had come and the door had been shut. That's why I say, God have mercy. So we must cherish the burden of the coming of the bridegroom. It's when we cherish the burden of the coming of the bridegroom, every price, every necessity required will be imprinted in our soul by the Holy Spirit. It will be imprinted in our soul by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's what heaven is saying. That's what heaven is doing. You know, I perceive in my spirit the Lord is letting you know everything you are going through, it is God working a work in you to instill the vision of the appearing of the bridegroom. The vision of his appearing. That is key. That is fundamental to the preparation of the bride. Everything you're going through, don't ever forget. It is God working and working you to prepare you, to build the vision, to build the sense of expectancy in preparation for the coming and appearing of the bridegroom. And that is what heaven is up to. And the Lord has given us a mandate, an assignment, a responsibility to help the body of Christ. Praise God. And this mandate is only fulfilled as City Gate, as you constantly sound the alarm. This mandate is fulfilled as you apply yourself to doing the will of God. You know, your obedience will reverberate in the heavenlies and set many free. Your obedience as foreigners will reverberate in the heavens and set the pace. There are many, I know many, many of God's children are in chain. Many of God's children are in chain to false doctrine. Many of God's children are under the clutch of witchcraft spirits. Praise God. It is our obedience that will set them free. Yes, sir. Our obedience will reverberate in the spirit and create an inroad for the Holy Spirit of God to walk and set the captive free in the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord just wants me to let you know that he is coming. Hallelujah. To you as your commander. Amen. The voice of the commander is going to emerge in your midst. The voice of the commander is going to sound so authentically. The voice of the commander will be loud and distinct. Hallelujah. He will be known as the King of Majesty. And it is the King that is leading the way. He will be known as the captain, or he will be known as the commander in this battle. There's a battle that is raging. Praise God. And the Lord is saying to you, He has already equipped you for the battle ahead. He said, get ready. Get ready to take on forces of darkness. Get ready to take on strongholds. And heaven is going to begin with you. Strongholds in your mind. Strongholds in your space. The Lord is going to have you take them on. The Lord is going to use you to resist. He's going to use you to quell every resistance of hell. He said, these are the days of battle. These are the days of war. There's going to be warfare in the spirit, and there's going to be battle in the spirit. But be strong and courageous, because the Lord is with you. I sense in my spirit, in your private life, the Lord will stir a whole lot of warfare prayer. The Lord will reveal the strategies of darkness, and the Lord will embolden you and stir you up to send forth the word with the commanding tone of the generals of the generals. Hallelujah. And thus says the Spirit of God, Spirit in the realm, in the heavenlies, will recognize the voice of the commander. And they will bow and surrender themselves into chains and shackles. As you fight the warfare in the spirit, strongholds will be broken. As you engage in battle in the realm of the spirit, there will be freedom. My people will be able to serve me. My people will find freedom and liberty to do the will of God. There will be freedom. And you will cease from your toiling. You will cease from your struggle and enter into his rest. Rest has come, says the Spirit of God. This is a season of grace. You're going to find so much grace to prosper in the will of God. So much grace to flourish. You know, objectives and projects and that has taken years and years to put together by the power of the Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. This year is a year of actualization. For you, it's a year of implementation. The vision will see the light of the day. You know, some of you have suffered stillbirth. You know, one scripture that comes to mind just now is Isaiah 37:3, where you remember King Hezekiah, after going through so much barrage, and he said that today will be likened to as a day when the children, the pregnancy is due, and there's no strength to bring forth. But the Lord is saying, the curse is completely undone. It will, that parable will no longer be said over your space, over your heavens, that the pregnancy is due, but there's no strength to bring forth. The Lord is supplying birth pangs. Birth pangs. You will travail and bring forth. You will labor and birth. You will birth righteousness and birth revival and birth the intervention of heaven. For this is a season of prophetic advance. And the Lord is saying, you will not be fidgeting in your faith. Your faith will draw strength from above. You will be bold as lions. You will be courageous. Who art thou, O mountain that stand before Zerubbabel? You see, in the previous times, in the time when Tambalat and Tobiah are terrified God's people, and has weakened the hands of God's people from building the temple. But God says the Spirit, that era is over. The Lord is giving you strength to build. The Lord is giving you power to prevail. You will prevail against the adversary. You will subdue the forces of darkness. You will overcome the works of evil, says the Spirit of God. This is a season of prophetic advance. And you're going to go from strength to strength. You're going to go from grace to grace. The Lord will lay out to you. The Lord will map out to you strategies. The Lord will reveal and witness in your spirit territories that have been earmarked for you, for your taking. Be bold and be courageous. It is time for your faith to speak. Your faith will be speaking and call the things that be not as though they were. Your faith will be speaking. For thus says the Spirit, this is the era of great exploit. And you have to be strong and courageous. You don't listen to noise. You don't listen to realities of man. You don't listen to the intimidations of the enemy. You only listen to one voice. It's the voice of your commander. If he says it, you believe it. If he speak it, you repeat it. This is the hour my people will prosper by the word of the Lord. Well, the Bible said the Lord strengthened the hand of Agai. And the Lord used Agai. The Bible said Zerubbabel, they prosper by the word of the Lord. This is the hour my people will prosper by the word of the Lord. You know, there are times and seasons in the spirit. There's time of waiting. There's even time of scrutiny. There are times and seasons. There's even time that man may call time of delay. It might look like the promises are being delayed. You know, it's man that called it delay. God never does. God is so intentional. God is so intentional. You see, every time we perceive ourselves to be going through delay, nothing is being delayed. Yes. Movement is taking place in the heavens. Yes. Activities are happening underground. And the Lord wants you to know that. But I perceive in my spirit, there is a switch in the spirit. There's a prophetic shift over your heavens. It will not be by might. It will not be by power. It will be by my spirit. The Lord is emboldening you to take territories. The Lord is strengthening you to birth. You will prevail. You will travail and prevail. You will travail and you will bring forth, says the Spirit of God. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord and bless the Lord our God. Lord, we adore you. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we lift up your majesty. Glory be to you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we adore you.
Words have spirit. Words as life has come unto you. Now is the season to walk in the things spoken. For more messages, visit our website at www.thecitygate.org. Stay blessed!